Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. We give you the adoration. And you will live and move and have our being. We ask, Lord, that you take charge of this service tonight. We ask that not one person will leave here the same way that they have come. We worship you. We honor you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. Welcome you all tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We will look at a subject and then step also into the practical of it. It's titled Taking Charge of Destiny at the Altar of Prayer. Taking Charge of Destiny at the Altar of Prayer. Our objective tonight is to understand the force of prayer that guarantees our taking charge of destiny. That is, the force of prayer that guarantees us becoming all that God wants us to become. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, the Bible gives us an account of a woman by the name Hannah, who vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Prayer is a very potent force. This is by way of introduction. A very potent force for the establishment of people in their God-ordained destinies. It is one thing for God to show you what he wants you to be. It's another thing for you to be there. Prayer is a very potent force for the establishment of people in their God-ordained destinies. And examples abound throughout Scripture of people who took charge of their destinies at the altar or through the altar of prayer. And I'm going to start with the first example that occasioned the text. The example of Hannah. Hannah was destined by God to bring forth one of the most impactful prophets in the Bible. One of the most accurate prophets in the Bible. She was designed by God to do that. And I'm sure you know that there are people whose destinies include the birthing of generational mantles. The mother of Samson had an assignment to birth a Samson. The mother of John the Baptist, the parents of John the Baptist, and so on and so forth. For Hannah, it was the birthing of one of the most accurate, if not the most accurate prophet in Scripture. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 19. Referring to Samuel, the Bible said, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. The Lord did not allow anything Samuel said not to come to pass. Not one. Except when he went presumptuously on two occasions. We'll leave that for another day. This was the destiny of Hannah, to bring forth such a person. But she battled with delay until at the altar of passionate praying with a vow. The situation was drastically and instantly turned around.
Hannah had gone to Shiloh all the years, every year. She had not done anything different until this moment, where she prayed with passion. As we saw in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11, and prayed with a vow. And at the altar of prayer, it turned. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 18, they returned home. And she said, let an handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did it. And her countenance was no more sad. Verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew his wife. And the Lord remembered her. At that altar of prayer, it was turned. I want you to note three things or four before we go to the next example. Number one, great destinies attract great battles. Every time a destiny is great, the battles are great. Number two, great destinies attract great delays. Great delays. Whenever a destiny is great, because the devil is afraid of the implication of that destiny, he tries to delay its manifestation. And third thing to note is passionate praying can birth drastic changes. Passionate praying can give birth to drastic changes. But let me add the fourth. When you put forth an effort, you have never put forth before. You see effects you have never seen before. Drastic efforts occasions drastic effects. When you put forth an effort you have never before put forth, you see effects you have never before seen. Hannah had gone to Shiloh before. She has done all the regular things before. But this one she hadn't done before. And once she did that, the change came. That was Hannah. Don't forget, in case you are watching all around the world, or anywhere you are right now, you are experiencing great battles or experiencing great delays. Congratulations. Because those are signs and symptoms. Hey! Those are signs and symptoms of great destinies. And I have bad news for the devil. What the devil is afraid of and what he is fighting you about shall come to pass. The destiny of our nation is great. The destiny of our nation is so great. So the battles of our nation is so enormous. But what the devil is afraid of concerning Nigeria shall come to pass. Take your seat and let's go to example number two. Hannah was number one. Number two was Job. Job battled with enemy confrontation and devastation until he embarked on intercessory praying and everything changed. He battled confrontation, devastation. In Job chapter 42 and in verse 10, the Bible says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had. Job was a big man before. Maybe you are like that here, or you are like that watching around the world. Suddenly you got devastated states in situations or confrontations that appear to collapse your life. It's not over. It's not over. It is not over. You believe that, say aloud, amen. I'd like you to note the following from the life of Job, number one. No matter what happens, If you will not give up, you will not go down. Job 14:14, he said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. No matter what happens around you, no matter what happens to you or with you, if you will not give up, you cannot go down. You will not go down. Number two, no matter what happens, if you will not give up, change must come. All the days, the time of my appointed, all the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. No matter what happens, if you will not give up, the devil will tempt you to give up many times. If you will not give up, change must come. Number three. If your hope is intact, your help is on the way. Your hope is intact, your help is on the way. Job said, I will. Wait until my change comes. What does that mean? Still under number three. If you are not hopeless, you are not helpless. If you are not hopeless, you can never be helpless. And let me say the fourth thing. When you begin to look beyond your challenge, you soon begin to collide with your change. When you begin to look beyond your challenge, when you begin to trivialize your challenge, you begin to collide with your change. How did Job do that? Instead of praying for his friends, for himself, he began to pray for his friends. Job 42:10. My problem is not important now. Let God heal them for me. Let God save them for me. Let God deliver them for me. When you begin, whatever you concentrate on, you magnify. For as long as you concentrate on your matters, you magnify them. Whatever you despise, you diminish. My wife gave me the phone this afternoon to speak with someone because there was a challenge. The challenge that looks like pray. When I picked up the phone, the first thing I did was to make the person laugh first. My wife said, this serious matter is what you are. Is it laughter matter? I said, that is how serious it is. That's how trivial it is. It's a laughing matter. Before I went ahead to rebuke the challenge, minimize it first, trivialize it, commonize it. Don't specialize what God has commonized. No temptation that has taken you. There is no temptation that has taken you except that which is common. The Bible said it is common. Was that not 1 Corinthians 10:13? It is common. No temptation has taken you except what is common. So whatever it is, the Bible calls it common. It's not special. And it is important for us not to know the seriousness of a matter or take it too seriously. Let me give you an example. Take yourself. A woman called me one day. It was a night vigil day. It was around the afternoon. She called me. She said, so her son is no longer, is not breathing. I thought that not breathing, maybe he was asthmatic. And then maybe he had airway restriction or struggling to breathe. So I said to the boy, meet me. See me in service this evening. He said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. It was this week I realized that the boy stopped breathing, literally died. And they were already crying. Why will you do this to us? Why will you do this to us? Why will you do this? And us already thinking of hospital and mortuary. When he said, it's not breathing. It didn't cross my mind that it was death. So it was, I mean, it was like a, so see me in the evening services. From no breathing to, yes, sir. And I have heard that before. My senior sister's son, banker in town here, his neighbors didn't see him from morning till night. He didn't go to what is. When they broke his door, busted into his door, he was lying in the bathtub. From morning, the time when bankers should bath to go to work till that time, when they picked him up, he was zero conscious. Also on a fast. That was day 8 of the fast without food. I was drinking water. I rushed to the hospital in the night. My brother was already there. I tried to apply sternal pressure and all of the things that will identify the kind of pressure, the kind of scale where you will apply and say, okay, this person is in so and so level of coma. He was, even if you cut him with a knife, he wasn't aware. That was when I realized that this thing was not normal. Then I looked up and I said, no way, in the middle of a fast like this. In the name of Jesus, answer me. Richard! He said, sir? You're here as a witness. Sir? I said, repeat this after me. I shall live, I shall live. I shall not die, I shall not die. I shall fulfill my days, I shall fulfill my days. After we finished all of that, he slipped back again into deep coma unconsciousness, but I was okay. If he has answered, sir, now, no devil can take him out. He had a brain tumor, cerebellar malformation or something, that burst or something. He's alive and well till tomorrow. Hale and hearty with his family and children in the United Kingdom right now. Hallelujah. Don't specialize it. If God has commonized it, it is when you begin to look beyond the challenge that you begin to collide with the change. Look beyond it. Pray for somebody else. Somebody say aloud, amen. Lift up your right hand and say, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. At the altar of prayer tonight, my story must change. My situation must change in Jesus' precious name. Let us run quickly and look at the life of our master. I'm done with Job. And then let's look at the life of our master Jesus. Our master Jesus had his destiny outlined for him at the altar of prayer on the mountain of transfiguration. In Luke chapter 9 and in verse 29, Luke chapter 9 and in verse 29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glittering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and they spake of his disease, his death, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Jesus was at the Mount of Transfiguration. And there he prayed, and certain things happened that pertain to his destiny. What were the things? Number one, the altar of prayer is the altar of glory explosion. If you are ever trusting God for his glory in your life to explode, it happens from the altar of prayer. It's the altar of glory explosion. And I see that the glory shall be exploding in some people's lives today in the name of Jesus. Number two, the altar of prayer is the altar of interaction with ancient mantles. Moses and Elijah spoke with him at the altar of prayer. And we need ancient mantles to fulfill current destinies. The altar of prayer is the altar of interaction with ancient mantles. Mantles that have gone. Mantles that have existed before. One day, I saw in the revelation, Archbishop Benson in the house of blessed memory, after he had passed. And he said, this suit and these ties I left for you. Take. He handed them over to me. Then he said, I honored others. I gave other people honors. But I didn't do that for you. Come, let me do it for you and your wife. It was like a convocation ceremony, like the way they give awards and doctorates and so on. And he just came, this, take your own. That was a mantle that had passed, being interacted with. I saw me with A.A. Allen. I saw me with Smith Wigglesworth and Charles John Wesley, sitting, three of them at the same time. Before I stepped into ministry, sir, I was still in Jaws. The altar of prayer is the altar of interaction with ancient mantles. He spoke with Elijah. He spoke with Moses. And what were they speaking about? That leads us to number three. The altar of prayer is the altar of instruction and clarification for destiny. It's the altar of instruction and clarification for destiny matters. At the altar of prayer, you get instruction. At the altar of prayer, you get clarification on the matters of destiny, especially when it is prayer with sensitivity. Tonight, there are people here. God will clarify for you your destiny. Fourthly, the altar of prayer is the altar of cleansing and purging of life and destiny. The things that don't pertain to your life and destiny, that can corrupt life and destiny, is the altar of cleansing and purging of life and destiny. His garment was white as snow on that altar of prayer. Those things that hold you back, whether it is sin or a mental attitude, inferiority complex, fear, or the things that have the ability to hold your life back, they are purged and cleansed at the altar of prayer. That is how the altar of prayer makes a person to take charge of destiny. Number four, let's look at the life of Jacob in the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verse 24 to verse 28. The Bible said, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. The altar of prayer was that altar where Jacob became Israel. Now take note of the following 5 points. First, the altar of prayer is the altar of the is the altar for the elimination of the limitations of destiny. At the altar of prayer, there is the elimination of the limitations of life and destiny. That's how it helps you to take charge of destiny. Jacob had limitations in his life. When he said, bless me, it means my life is full of curses and limitations. Whatever followed me from my father's house, I want it to go. Whatever followed my forefathers that is on me, I want it to go. It's the altar for the elimination of the limitations of destiny. Secondly, the altar of prayer is the altar for capacity enlargement for life and destiny. Capacity enlargement. Do you understand? Like we say, Jacob was a person. Israel is a nation. Where you grow bigger in impact. You grow bigger in influence. You grow bigger in results from the altar of prayer. Growing bigger in impact. Growing bigger in effect. Growing bigger in influence. Growing bigger in results. Number three, I like this one very well. The altar of prayer is the altar where the person you used to be gives way for the person you are meant to be. The person you used to be, the fearful person, the timid person, gives way for the person you are meant to be, the audacious person, the ferocious person, the aggressive person. It's at the altar of prayer where the person you used to be disappears into the person you are meant to be, until people sees you and they say, what has happened to the son of Jesse? Is Saul also among the prophets? And who is their father? Where those who know you before don't know you anymore. Even those who are around you can't recognize you anymore. Something happened that my classmates in the university can't, they don't recognize, because all these things, it wasn't there. Playing instrument was not there. Many, many things. What they knew then was a shadow of what it is now. So, what is this? The person you used to be gives way for the person you are meant to be. I was very, very, a bit timid. Even though I had audacity inside, but some level, in secondary school, I was finding it hard to even address a crowd. Right? But when the fire fell, give me a crowd of demons now. Hey! Hey! I announced to someone here today, that person you used to be that has limited your destiny is about to become swallowed up into the person you are meant to be. You believe that? Shout the Lord and say amen. Yet you say, that was what happened to Jacob when he became Israel. The person he used to be gave way for the person he was meant to be. That is taking charge of destiny. Number four, the altar of prayer is the altar for the empowerment of life unto success, progress, and victory. Empowerment. For as a prince has thou power to prevail. Altar of empowerment. The empowerment of a man's life unto success, unto progress, unto victory. That is the altar that causes you to literally take charge. The altar of prayer. Finally, we look at the man called Jabez and draw the curtain there. First Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9 to 10. We are looking at, we have looked at four people. We looked at Hannah. We looked at Job. We looked at the Master Jesus. We looked at Jacob. Now we are looking at Jabez. In First Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9 to verse 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou would keep me from evil, that it may not grip me. And God granted him that which he requested. God granted Jabez that which he requested. God shall grant you what you are requesting. You believe that, say aloud, amen. You believe that, say aloud, amen. What do we learn from here? We saw how sorrowful Jabez was. His mother gave birth to him in sorrow. He had a history that was totally contrary to his destiny. But what happened at the altar of prayer? One, the altar of prayer is the altar that takes care of the liabilities of your past. The things that are liabilities from your past. The cargo of your history. Those things that followed you from your mother's womb. Even things of your past, before you came to know the Lord, that are trying to resist your life. The altar of prayer is the altar that takes care of the liabilities of your past. Hallelujah. The thing that want to fight your destiny, the thing that want to resist your future, they can be tackled at the altar of prayer. Number two, the altar of prayer is the altar that changes identities and destinies. He was called Jabez, but now he was sorrowful before, but now he is called, he became more honorable. It's the altar that changes identities and destinies. The same way Jacob became Israel. That is, all of a sudden, something about you changes. All of a sudden, perception changes. All of a sudden, what they think about you changes. At the altar of prayer, it's about to change for somebody. It's about to change for somebody. I've seen and experienced notorious criminals who gave their life to Christ, became prayers, and nobody ever remembered their crime past. I know of those who are pastors and ministers and in ministry right now. Nobody ever remember. In fact, there is one I used to know that is used by the government of America to rehabilitate criminals and all that. And he had a terrible crime past. They see him today and he interacts. It changes your identity, changes your destiny at the altar of prayer. Thirdly, the altar of prayer is the altar that brings out life's potentials, your potentials, the things that are inside you. I just mentioned now that nobody knew was there. Even yourself never knew they were there. The altar of prayer, Jabez, who was a nobody, had the potential of founding a city. According to 1 Corinthians Chronicles chapter 2 verse 35, he had a city named that time. The families of scribes dwelt at Jabez. He had the destiny of being the founder of a city. He had that potential. But nobody was aware until his giftings and graces exploded at the altar of prayer. There are people here tonight. Your gifts and your graces will explode after the prayers tonight. Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear the loudest amen? Finally, for tonight, for this point, the altar of prayer is the altar that frustrates the agenda of the enemy against your life and destiny. The devil does not want you to become who God wants you to be, so he delays you. And when you step into that destiny, he still wants to fight you. But it's the altar of prayer that frustrates the agenda of the enemy against your life and against your destiny. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, verse 10 now. And Jabez said, called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. I ask that your hand might be with me, that you keep me from evil, that it will not grieve me. Deliver me from unnecessary enemy attacks. And God granted him that which he requested. God shall grant you your request in Jesus' precious name. very, very quickly, what sort of prayer is it that helps us to take charge of our destiny? What is the manner of prayer that causes a person to take charge of destiny? Number one is desperate and passionate prayer. Desperate and passionate praying. The type that Hannah prayed in 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. The type that Jacob prayed. 1 Samuel 1:11. Jacob prayed. Genesis 32. 24 to 28. I won't let you go until you bless me. You are passionate. You are desperate. This is a destiny matter. I can't play with it. My God must change my life. The devil must lose his finger off my life. Desperate, passionate prayer. Number two is prayer with sacrifice and vows. In prayer with sacrifice and vows. 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 That was what Hannah did. When this construction was on, that was again 1 Samuel 1:11. One young man was trusting God for an amount in eight figure amount. Lord, if this amount enters my hand, it is not tight. I want to pay. I want to drop all of it for this project. So he came. I say, it is done. Go get it. It came. Maybe in 2 or 3 months. And he dropped it according as he said. But it came with more fluid. You know, when the tap conducts water, it cannot be dry. It came with more supply. Am I communicating? That kind of prayer. Lord, I am not planning to be popular. I am not planning to look for materialistic things. I want this kingdom to move forward. I want to take my place as a kingdom financial steward. Try me, Lord, and see. It's prayer with sacrifice and vows. Number three is intercessory prayer. The kind of prayer where you are not the focus. Where somebody else is the focus. Where your nation is the focus. Where the church where you worship is the focus. You are not praying for yourself right now. That was what Job did in Job chapter 42 verse 10. And he prayed for his friends. God turned his captivity. And if we are to follow the principle of seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I will counsel that the first of such kind of praying will be praying for the body of Christ, for the church. Praying for souls. Praying for lives to be changed. Praying for the services you come for. Praying for your man of God. Praying for the grace and the mantle on his life. Praying for your friends that are afflicted in one need or the other. Intercessory praying is a destiny transforming praying. It changes your life. When we abandoned ourselves and faced God, then God faced us. We abandoned ourselves and faced his work, then he faced us. How can you go from Ida? It's a village. We went there by helicopter. Went to Tupu and Ida, helicopter and returned back. Well, it's meant to be a town. I'm sorry for those who are from there. It's as village as Otupo and so all of these places are meant to be townships, except for the kind of country that we're in. And then you go to Wari, where they interpreted for you Wari in the English. And Uyo. And Lagos, and Calabar, and Oka, and Maiduguri, and Pakistan, and Togo, and Ghana, and the United Kingdom, and Canada, and United States of America and Abuja here. And in none of the crusades did you take an offering. And you did some 3 crusades in 1 week. You be soldier. Even if you be soldier, you no break down. One of those who followed us for crusade from Togo to, he said after he came back, he was so exhausted. He wasn't the one preaching, just sitting. He was so tired and exhausted. He said, "You drilled us, oh, sir, you drilled us." It took time to recover. My children said after they followed us, "What program was that?" We went to Enugu crusade, we went some tartos. When we came, we did 1 week within that crusade. They said they rested for 3 weeks. He said, "That is when, sir, I respected your ministry." Your assignment. Hallelujah. And you are doing all of this. And you are not stranded for your personal resources or personal anything. And you are not going up and down for who you are preaching and they are giving you honorarium. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You abandon yourself and face God. Then he said, "Let me face you. Let me see how lack will cross your path. Let me see the thing that will distract you." Hallelujah. Intercessory praying. Number 4 is praying in uprightness. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. James 5:16. Praying with uprightness. Praying with a conscience that is clear and clean. You are not on the assignment of hurting God or hurting man. And finally, praying with sensitivity. While Jesus prayed, he was sensitive enough to see Moses and Elijah, who spoke to him about his assignment. Praying with sensitivity. The praying with inquiry. Is there something you are saying, Lord? Jeremiah 33 and in verse 3. He said, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knewest not." Hallelujah. It's a new day for you. It's a new day for you. Somebody say aloud, "Amen." Somebody say louder, "Amen." Somebody say the Lord must say, "Amen." Is somebody blessed tonight? Anybody as blessed as I am? How many of you know that each of the people I took is enough for one message, right? It's enough that is, well, if we can dwell on Hannah, we dwell on her as a message. And then on Job. And then on Jesus. And then on Jacob. And then on Jabez. And all came together in one night. Allah, 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 Allah. No devil can stand you. Stand on your feet with a loud shout of amen. Look at your neighbor, say, "I feel charged up. I feel like I can tackle every devil. I feel in charge of every curse. And today is my day. In the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. One day, we prayed in tongues. That was like 39 years ago. We prayed in tongues like 7 hours. Me and 2 friends, 39 years ago. And opened the door, and we began to go from house to house. "Is there any demon possessed here?" "Is there anybody here? Any devil here needs to be cast out?" Well, it's like you got fire, you want where to discharge it. It used to happen to me a lot in the university. I pray with on fire, and when I have finished praying on fire, I will open my door and begin to go from room to room, brethren room. I say, "Bro, I just saw something now." "Receive." Bam! He's doing kaka kaka kaka. I move to another room. said, the fire has to be distributed so that I don't explode. Let it be shared. So I want us to share some fire tonight. Psalm 122 verse 7. This is one of those intercessory prayers that changes your life. From verse 6. Pray for the peace of Nigeria. Pray for the peace of Ghana. Pray for the peace of your nation. They shall prosper. And of Jerusalem, practically Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love you. Nobody prospers in a nation they hate. Don't join people to hate the country. They shall prosper that love thee. This is what keeps us praying and hoping and trusting God for the change in our nation. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and the person said, Nigeria is in the hands of God. Only God is watching over Nigeria. Not leadership. Not military. Nothing. The other day, some terrorists overran a military base somewhere. In Marte yesterday. Marte. There are not things to talk about. It's in the hands of God. We are meant to have people who make laws. We are meant to have people who are leading at various positions. But either that somebody is not interested or it's not their priority. What a country. But we are going to pray tonight. Carmine Lamido. In the provinces, I just received message now. You know, we received message from them. Right in this service. Sorry to distract you, sir. But there is a lot of tension. There is attacks and counter-attacks. People are running helter-skelter. And they are meant to be having midweek service there as well right now. Here and there. We will take charge of our nation. And take charge. We are going to pray some very, very strategic praying tonight. But before then, lift your hands and thank the Lord for His word. Thank the Lord for His word to us tonight. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Be glorified. Be honored. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And you overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Genesis chapter 4, verse 11. He said concerning Cain, after he slew his brother, Now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened our mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Now, one thing we know is that bloodshed on the ground brings curses. Every curse on our nation, by the shedding of the innocent blood that is on the nation, as it were, we ask that it be reversed. Say after me, prayer number one. We're taking 2 minutes for prayer. Say after me, say, Father,
Father,
we ask
that
every curse brought upon our nation by innocent bloodshed and blood sacrifice over the years be reversed by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Father, we ask that every curse that has been brought upon our nation by innocent bloodshed and by this sacrifice of innocent blood, we decree that it be reversed by the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, we ask that every curse brought upon our nation by innocent bloodshed and blood sacrifice over the years be reversed by the blood of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Every curse brought upon our life
Let the set of better sort of Mashata, let the better set of Katakala. Palarata, set the better sort of Katakala. Masha Kokola Bakalaka. Mata set the better sort of Kokola Bakalaka. Sharota Saka Koko Sokola Kadikala. Mela Rata set the better sort of Kakala. Rata set the better sort of Katakala. Let us set the better Koko Sokola Kakala. Rata set the better set of Katakala. Let Paparata Sakala Sara. Rata set the better Koko Sokola Kadisha. Repeta set the better Koko Sokola. La Rata set the better Sina Galara Hana. La Parata set the better Koko Lagana. Le Parata set the better Koko Sokola. Mara Tadi. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
We just read Genesis chapter 4, verse 11. He said to Cain, "You are cursed from the earth that opened his mouth to receive your brother's blood." Those who shed blood are not permitted to walk on the earth.
Hi, hi.
They are not permitted to trample the earth. The headsmen, the jihadists, the terrorists, the killers, the earth is not permitted to accommodate them. Why is it accommodating them? We have not enforced it. And now we are going to enforce it. We are going to enforce it at the place of prayer. Enforce it in prayer. Enforce it in action. When I ministered that Sunday before, I actually looked at the full text of the speech of the DGSSS. When he said, I said, oh, I wish I had listened to it before I even came out. It was very direct and very blunt. He said, people should rise up, rally, and defend themselves. He said, consult us for necessary advice and authorizations. We are necessary. He said, those that are influential in various communities, join forces with your people to rescue your lands. Can anything be more direct than that? Maybe you think you are a big man. It doesn't bother you because you have a house in Asokoro. You have a house in Meta. The day may come where you will have no village to go to. And by the time they are through with your village, they will come for you in Abuja. This is the time for everybody to join forces together. To say no vagabond, placeless entities will push me out of my father's house. Let them be pushed from place to place until they have nowhere to go. And return back to anywhere they came from. If everybody will agree at once in every part of this country and say enough is enough for these devils. Take that prayer point. Let's go. Say after me. Say, Father,
Father,
we ask
that
the killers, the headsmen,
the jihadists,
and terrorists
be
cursed out of the earth of Nigeria by reason of their shedding of innocent blood on the earth of Nigeria. Now, those of you in Ghana, those of you in Burkina Faso, those of you in Togo, those of you in Niger and in Chad, those of you in Cameroon, you are watching, you can pray the same prayer and call your nation. Because we have those devils everywhere. Pray after me and say, Father,
we
ask that the killers, the headsmen, the jihadists, and terrorists be cursed out of the earth of Nigeria by reason of their shedding of innocent blood on the earth of Nigeria. We decree that the earth of our nation resists their existence on high. Open your mouth and pray. We declare that the killer, the headsman, jihadists and terrorists be cursed out of the earth of Nigeria by reason of their shedding of innocent blood on the earth of Nigeria. We decree that the earth of our nation resists their existence on high. In the name of Jesus, we decree
existence. The earth of Nigeria resists their existence. Father, we ask that the killers, the headmen, the jihadists, and the terrorists be cursed out of the earth of Nigeria by the reason of their shedding of innocent blood on the earth of Nigeria. We decree that the earth of our nation will resist their existence on high in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A man called me yesterday to tell me about how he has gotten his appointment. And he told me, do you remember what you told me? Because he labored for a place. And when he finished laboring, they pushed him out and brought another person to take his place. And then I told him two things will happen. Number one, I quoted Isaiah 65. I said, you'll not labor in vain. You won't bring forth for trouble. You won't labor for another to inherit. I said, so number two things will happen. The person who did that to you will be disgraced out of that office. And number two, you will return back and take your place. He said, he didn't remember what he said. I said, remind, he told me, I said, okay, I remember now. He said, that is all happened. I am saying now that Nigeria shall be the graveyard, mass graveyard of these killers and these demons and their sponsors and those who send them. Nigeria shall be their mass graveyard. Lift your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, we command the earth of Nigeria to swallow up these killers in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. The earth of Nigeria shall be. Precious name. If you are saying amen, say louder amen.
Amen.
Leviticus chapter 18, verse 27 to 28. Oh, no. Let's start with Psalm. Psalm 121, verse 5 to 8. Psalm 121, verse 5 to 8. One to go. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy strength upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. The Lord shall preserve thy going up and thy coming in from this forth and forth. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. There are covenants and agreements people have and people do with sun, moon, and stars and waters and earth to fight people's destiny. There are engagements that leaders of our nation from all generations would have made with the earth, with the sun, the moon, the stars, to make this land to be a land of struggle, a land of suffering, a land of pain, instead of a land of joy. We want to reverse those covenants. Lift your voice and pray after me and say, Father, we ask that every evil, occultic, witchcraft, or demonic transaction of our leaders with the sun, the moon, the stars, the water, or the earth of our nation that has brought untold hardship and underdevelopment of our nation be reversed by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth, pray. Father, we ask that every evil, every occult, every witchcraft, all demonic transaction of our leaders with the sun, with the moon, with the stars, with the waters, with the earth of our nation that has brought untold hardship and underdevelopment upon our nation be reversed by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that every evil, every occult, every witchcraft, every demonic transaction of our leaders with the sun, with the moon, with the stars, with the waters, with the earth of our nation that has brought untold hardship and underdevelopment on our nation
judgment, all demonic transaction on our leaders, with the sun, with the moon, with the stars, with the water, with the air of our nation that has brought untold hardship and underdevelopment upon our nation, be reversed by the blood of Jesus. We are that every evil and occult and witchcraft and demonic transaction of our leaders with the sun, with the moon, with the stars, with the water, or the earth of our nation that has brought untold hardship and underdevelopment upon our nation, be reversed by the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name.
If you believe that, say loud amen.
Amen.
You believe that, say loud amen.
Amen.
Anything that makes people run from their fatherland is a curse. Only a curse. The running of people from their land is what the Bible calls spewing out. The earth is spewing out. It's vomiting, it's releasing them. It's spewing out. Like, so they run to America to wash dead body. A professor of surgery or a professor of this or that becomes something else. I heard of some doctors driving Uber in Canada. Whatever it is that is making our path, and it's because the land is not conducive. You know, I was telling someone, I said, you step into some neighborhoods in America, some neighborhoods in Africa or other, and you look around and say, what is wrong with our country? So some of our people, the other day I saw some people who are trying to run from Nigeria through
Libya.
North Africa, Libya.
Something like that.
Morocco, that kind of desert. Plenty of them deported back. Some killed on the road. Some entered the boat. What kind of boat it is? Capsized in the water. Died en masse. Some prefer to die than to remain in the country. Whatever is making, and our leaders don't care. One day I told God, what did we do as a nation to deserve this set of people? This cut from generation to generation. Moving about big man that is a generational burden, a cargo, a liability, a waste of space. Irrelevant both in time and eternity. What is your relevance? Carrying big car where nobody is touched by your life. What shall he profit a man if he gains the whole world? How much money will you take out of this world? And by the time you die and you enter that grave and appear in hellfire to roast for eternity, who will spend your money? Constituency allowance, all is in the pocket. Security vote, all is in the pocket.
Aye.
One person's cup gulping billions. How many rooms will you sleep in one night?
Aye.
How many cars will you drive at once?
Aye.
How many coffins will you be buried inside?
Aye.
And what does it matter, the price of your coffin? Just moving about, just sitting as a burden over whole nations, as a blanket of misery over nations. But everybody is grumbling, including those who are driving them. Everybody is grumbling. But God will save us. God will deliver us.
Amen.
God will deliver us from this generation of cargoes. He will deliver us.
Amen.
Burden, human weight. Mobile disaster. Other parts of the world, they have natural disaster. Hurricane, volcano, tsunami. In Africa, majorly we don't have. The disaster we have are people, human beings. Leadership disaster.
ADLS. That's the disease. ADLS. Acquired disastrous leadership syndrome.
ADLS.
It's acquired because it came. We're not born with it. Disastrous, acquired disastrous or calamitous leadership syndrome. God has the treatment. He will save us. You speak, people think you are talking about individuals. It's a syndrome that must be cured. Heartless people, zero heart for people. Where is Mobutu Sese Seko now? Where is Idi Amin Dada of Uganda now? Where is the late Sani Abacha now? Where are they and all the things they amassed? Leviticus chapter 18, verse 27 to 28. It says, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled, verse 28, that the land spew not you out also, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. The house of Mobutu Sese Seko of Congo, he had an airport, landing, plane land there. That house is desolate now. Nobody is there. What shall he went to North Africa to die. Even France, where he had money, couldn't receive him. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? We're going to pray right now. See after me, say, Father,
we ask
that every evil transaction or covenant of our nation's leadership that has led to the earth spewing out our inhabitants from our nation be reversed by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Again, say, Father, we ask that every evil transaction or covenant of our nation's leadership that has led to the earth spewing out our inhabitants from our nation be reversed by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Go on ahead, open your mouth, pray. Every evil transaction, evil covenant of our nation's leadership that has led to the earth spewing out our inhabitants from our nation be reversed by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Every evil transaction or covenant of our nation's leadership that has led to the earth spewing out our inhabitants from our nation be reversed by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that every evil transaction or covenant of our nation's leadership that has led to the earth spewing out our inhabitants from our nation be reversed by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. We ask that every evil transaction or covenant of our nation's leadership that has led to the earth spewing out our inhabitants from our nation be reversed by the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
I'd like us to revisit these prayer points on this. Check back the YouTube and all of that. You'll see all the points. Pick them out and on your own pray them. Pray until we see liberation. You are going to pray for yourself now. Genesis 32 and in verse 28. And he said, everybody read together, one to go. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has that power with God and with men and has prevailed. Pray after me and say, Father,
I receive the empowerment unto success, unto progress, and victory in life and destiny at this altar of prayer today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, again, Father, I receive the empowerment unto success, unto progress, unto victory in life and destiny at this altar of prayer today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go on ahead and pray. Father, I receive the empowerment. Empowerment unto success. Empowerment unto progress. Empowerment unto victory in life and destiny. At this altar of prayer today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I receive the empowerment unto success, unto progress, unto victory in life and in destiny. At this altar of prayer today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I receive empowerment unto success, empowerment unto progress, empowerment unto victory in life and destiny. At this altar of prayer today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I receive the empowerment unto success, unto progress, unto victory in life and in destiny. At this altar of prayer today, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, I receive the empowerment unto success, the empowerment unto progress, the empowerment unto victory in life and in destiny at this altar of prayer, Lord. Lara Cassidy. Jesus, precious name.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 to 26. Read, let's go. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall not encamp thy young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill.
You see, you need to fulfill your days to fulfill your destiny. Nobody in the grave is talking about becoming what God wants them to become. Both you and your family. You cannot be cut short before your time.
Amen.
The arrow of death is flying at a higher frequency at the end of the time. But they won't cut you down before your time.
Amen.
And no matter whatever happens, don't agree to be cut down before your time.
Pray this prayer after me and say, Father,
I reject every covenant,
curse,
or verdict of premature death against my life, against my family, against my destiny. I decree that I and we shall fulfill our days, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and pray. Father, I reject every covenant, every curse, every verdict of premature death against my life, against my family, against my destiny. I decree that I shall fulfill my day in the name of Jesus. I reject every covenant, every curse, every verdict of premature death against my life, against my family, against my destiny. I decree that I shall fulfill my day, oh Lord, in the name of Jesus. Jesus, Father, I reject
Every covenant and curse or verdict of premature death against my life and family and destiny, I decree that I shall fulfill my days. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I reject every covenant and curse or verdict of premature death against my life and family and destiny. I decree that I shall fulfill my days. Master, come on. Jesus, precious name.
Amen.
The Lord heard and answered us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You believe God has heard us, say louder, amen. Lift your hands and give him the praise.